This is Embracing Change with Lakrita Bowman and Jennifer Osborne. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to Embracing Change. I am here with the incredible Lakrita Bowman.
Hello, 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 hello.
We're in a great mood here. And we're...
Wasn't always like that today.
But you are now.
Yes.
You are now because you're in your element. Amen. I think anytime you get in your element and you do something creative, it always makes you feel better.
Amen.
Today we're going to talk about steps to wholeness. And this is going to be really insightful because I think anytime you can create a framework for people to walk down in order to jump into their healing or, you know, look at their life, that's a really good thing. Even though, like, some of the structures that people have put out there, they don't have to be exact, but at least it gives a framework. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So, because everybody's different and they may find, you know, something here or something there, but.
Yeah, because I think that you're right. Steps to Wholeness is, again, everybody has a thumbprint, but everybody's thumbprint looks alike when you put it on paper. If I was to put some ink on my thumb and put it on paper and you would put it next to mine, it would look the same. But if you put it in the right place at the right time, it's going to be different. In other words, when it comes to the FBI and all them, they're going to read that thumbprint, even mm-hmm. though it has the appearance of looking the same, it's not going to read the same.
Yeah, they're going to magnify it.
They're going to magnify it, and then they're going to be able to break it down in levels that we only can see from our eyes perspective. But then when you break it down into somewhat of a roadmap, people can articulate it a little better to direct themselves, and they'll know what they need and what direction they may need to go in and what is bent for them. Some people can be it can be 1,000 people in the same room and a word will go across. The way it affects you is not the way it's going to affect me. I tell people all the time, when I was sitting in prison, there was over 2,000 women there. We may have all been in the same location, but we didn't get there for the same reasons. So what it's going to take for me to get out of that prison and what it's going to take for someone else is going to be different. You know, so when I say steps to wholeness, these are just things that have helped Lakrita and will continue the things that then I've also done to help over thousands of people through a program that I started called Having the Courage to Change. So it's just things that I have done to, I call them life principles and practices, that if you put them into a way and a format and a framework, I always say the reason we put pictures in a frame is so they don't fall out.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
You know, there's no reason to put a picture in a frame. You know, you can just get the picture, even if you buy a $1 million piece of art and just tape it onto your wall. But yeah. The reason you don't tape it is because the value of it, and you don't want it to fall off the wall and be damaged. So you frame it in so it can stay in place and hang on the wall in a way that you want it. And that's what this conversation is about.
That's so good. It's so good.
And so, you know, like I said, I've been just doing a lot of reading, a lot of, I don't do comparing, but every now and then I go out in the world and kind of study and research people's work and see how many thinkers, you know, think like me, how many people have some of the same belief systems I have, how many people out there have some of the knowledge or the wisdom that I can glean from. And T.D. Jakes has a book out now called Don't Drop the Mic.
Oh, yeah, that was just released last week.
Yeah, I just bought it. And I just believe that it's a book that teaches people how to not mess over their opportunities and platforms, and how we as a people should always be looking for the next person, the next generation to pass the mic to. See, he calls it don't drop the mic. When I listen to it, it's like we're learning how to pass the mic and be the person that's next to the next generation to actually be next to them, encouraging them, edifying them. So whatever you have deposited into them, it can continue to live on, because what you gave them lives on as long as they took the framework you gave them, and build on it. So I always think about Judge Nadel, who called me not too long ago, and I think about how God used him to release me from prison. And so it was his heart being positioned, him and Judge Anthony Vallon and Judge Powers, the three of them at the same time. How does that happen unless there's a God bigger than me? Will position their hearts to release a five-time incarcerated woman who really was ineligible for a program that, because it was for first-time offenders, nobody could have worked that miracle out but God. Right. And so I had a 3 to 15 year sentence and getting out in 10 months on a super shock probation that I was disqualified for, and getting three judges to concur. We can barely get three people in a room that love the Lord to concur with anything. But to get three judges to concur to let me out and all consent to it and give me an opportunity to believe in me was the catalyst that God used. And so T.D. Jakes says, don't drop the mic. And the way that he says it, then I put that together in the book as I'm reading it and saying that everything I do, all three of those judges are part of the elevation and the evolving of other people's lives, because they allowed God to use their heart to let me out of prison. So everything I'll ever do, they are the seed planter of it. So the trees that I grow and the lives that are changed and God using my life, they are also a part of that. Mm-hmm. And so those frameworks never stop. And that's why it's so important. Even the Bible talks about you never know who you're entertaining. You know what I'm saying? And so their lives will be blessed because I don't care what happens to them. And Judge Vallon has passed away since. But I know he was a blessed man because he whether he unconsciously knew it or consciously aware of it, he was obedient to what God wanted. And God moves and steps in for people with favor when they do what he asks, because obedience is better than sacrifice. And so I know that for me. And so when we talk about steps to wholeness, we got to go back to where it all starts for you and how many people was there supporting you to get where you are. And so when I think about Bishop Jakes' book, I think about, he calls it, you know, don't drop the mic. I say, you know, let's pass the mic and be able to be there. And that's what the judges did. I felt like they passed the mic to me and gave me an opportunity to build a platform for change. And that's what I have been doing now for 29 years.
And I think that when we get to heaven and we're standing before God, I think that we will see the result of maybe a little step or a thing that we sowed into someone, and then in turn did, you know, whatever they did. Kind of like you are passing that torch or that mic along from where they sowed into you. You've now sowed into hundreds of other people. Mm-hmm. They will, and then in turn, sow into whoever's in their their realm of influence. Exactly. So yeah, it can get.
And if you look at like huge. 10 people, it's amazing how if you take 10 people and that's 10 people touch 1,000 people, and that 1,000 people touch another, you know, you'll get to millions and billions of people you touch.
Yeah.
You don't have to touch all of them, but just you touching the 10 or the 100 that you were given, and then they continue to multiply, then you can, next thing you know, you'll be up to the 8, you know, 7 billion people that you are in the world.
Yeah.
Like I said, our greatest to me resources is not money. It's relationships and time. And then the second to me, then after that is your health. And so for me, what has happened, you know, the steps to wholeness for me is the power of knowledge. So for me, I feel like to know something is not to just be informed. It's actually knowledge for me is that you take what you know and do something with it. And so I can give a person a solution, and that may help them in that situation. But if I empower them with knowledge, I believe that helps them for a lifetime. And so that's my philosophy of one of the steps to wholeness is empowering people with information, but knowledge, and then helping them then take that knowledge and they create the wisdom out of it. My responsibility is the input. It's not the outcome. And so I have learned in these seven areas of change that God gave me years ago for my own life, how to take them in a framework and create them for other people. And the first thing was the physical, the natural, your natural way of life. Just, you know, we all want to be so spiritual, but if it ain't practical to me, it ain't spiritual. So what is in your physical life? What is the natural thing that's going on with you? And trying to get, so if you are on drugs, if you are an alcoholic, if you are a workaholic, those are all natural things you can see. But we know if I can see it, that is not the primary issue, because it's usually the thing up under there that's making me do the thing out there. So God showed me that. Lucretia, your physical well-being in prison is not your problem. That's your natural problem. That's what we can see. You're stealing, you're, you know, doing all the stuff you're doing. That's not the problem. It's what we can't see that's the problem. So I work with people dealing with them on the natural and the physical aspect of their lives first. Them being able to identify what they can see. What can you see? What do you see that may be out of order? Then we deal with, you know, the emotional, you know what I'm saying, piece of your life. You know, how do you feel? What is it that you don't feel? Some people don't feel anything. Or they don't understand what feelings are. They can't identify. Am I feeling sad? Am I feeling hurt? Am I, you know, am I feeling angry? Am I, you know, if you, like they say, if everything is an, if you have a hammer, everything's going to be a nail. You've got to learn that there's different emotions for different things. And so we want to deal with the physical and natural, but we want to deal with the emotional person.
And are you building on each step of those seven?
Exactly.
So you start with the natural, then you go to the emotion.
Yeah, emotion.
Gotcha.
Because you have to be able to deal with what got you here. So you didn't wake up one morning and decide, oh, I'm going to go to the recovery. I'm going to go to having the courage to change, or I'm going to go to Exodus. Oh, I'm just going to get myself all together now. No, something in your natural life made you, your physical life made you, that pain made it great enough for you to want to get some help. Your emotional life made you want to get some help. Something wanted something, some step made you take one more step towards. And Anthony Green said it well. He was laying in his own bed of affliction, and he remembering that he had a couple of $7 in his pocket, and he looked over and seen there was City Gospel Mission, right? And so he picked up the phone and he called and someone answered it. That's a step. But he was in a natural, remember he said he was drunk the night before. He's at White Castle. I can buy a coffee or I can buy me something else to drink. But he looked over in that front at White Castle and he seen that just a few steps away was help.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he had to make a natural and an emotional decision.
Yeah. And the White Castle was connected to a gas station, I think it was, that sold alcohol. So he had that choice.
Exactly.
$7 on alcohol, $7 for, well, he didn't spend $7 on coffee, but he spent some of that money on coffee.
Yeah, and got something to eat. And then he made the phone call.
Yeah, yeah. Because he saw the, what was it?
He saw the, Union Terminal.
That's right. Yeah, and he knew that we were close to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so he said that when he saw that, That was a step, though, that he took.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so he realized physical, naturally, and emotional. So then you have the educational as well. You know, how, not necessarily I'm talking about 1 + 1 = 2. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about 2 - 1 = 1. I ain't talking about that kind of education. I'm not even talking about the ability for you to read or write. I'm talking about comprehend. What is your educational well-being for comprehending? So he had to comprehend in that moment to say and have the courage enough to pick up the phone, though he had already been in this ministry once before and thought he had it all together. But he had to have comprehension enough, education enough to say, I am going to step out in faith with, though I'm fearful that they may reject me, I'm going to comprehend educationally enough to know that I'm only a few steps away from the possibility of being better. Then you look at the spirit, spiritual. That's in the middle. It holds up the other three. And so there is something in all of us that's bigger than ourselves. Oprah talks about it. Everybody, Gandhi, everybody talks about the voice inside you. I don't care what religion you are or what you believe in. It goes back to belief systems. There's got to be a power greater than you that is leading you, the energy, the universe, that is calling you from a deeper place. And for me, you know, it was the still small voice that said you will never have definition and meaning till you come back to the source. Well, I've learned that the source is two levels. It was back to the original creator who made me, but it was also back to where did the pain start? So that was a source. I had to get back to that in order to be sitting here 29 years later. So there was an and in both.
Yeah. Yeah.
The spirit was natural, it was emotional, it was educational, it was all of that. Getting me back to the natural pain that I had endured, the emotional pain of my mother giving me away and how my foster mother handled it. Because, see, we call trauma an education. Let me talk about educational comprehension and understanding. Now I'm getting into a real excited place here. Because even with that spiritually, I'm 29 years in the process, and I'm still uncovering the dirt of my own life. And for so long, I would protect my foster mother. If you look at my book, I very seldom talk about her. And when I do, it's almost glorifying her. But you know what I found out just in this last few months? That my trauma was not, I had a traumatic experience learning that my mother had given me away. But my trauma wound didn't come from that. It came from how my mother, foster mother, handled it. When she didn't take me in her arms and nurture me and hold me and share with me that things were going to be fine and that I was loved. Instead of her saying to me, it ain't none of your business, don't worry about it, that's where the wound came. The man abused me. That was the emotion. That was the traumatic experience. But you know what was the wound? Was not him abusing me. Yeah, he was inappropriately sexually raping me, and that was painful. But it was my mother believing him over me that caused the worst wound. That's what scarred me. Because he also discarded me, but she scarred me by how she handled it. When I was sent to the mental hospital, yes, the judge, who I then rebelled against authority, made a decision to forget me at the mental hospital after only sentencing me there for 30 days. I stayed there for 2 years. That was the traumatic event. You know where the trauma wound came? It's my mother didn't come after me. So it validated to me I wasn't valuable.
And you weren't safe.
And I wasn't safe. So all of those three wounds created me to create a reality that was not truth. And so the spirit began to be deadened in me. And so my emotional and my natural and my educational comprehension took over and deadened myself to anything but me. And so when that voice came, years later, I was 32 years old, laying in my prison bed and said, you will never have definition meaning till you come back to the source. He was talking, that spirit was talking to me about me, dealing with those wounds and the scars of the times I was discarded. And so that means that I had to allow the spirit through the natural to go in and do surgery again so I could be healed from my hell that I had inflicted because of how my mother handled the events. The Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. There's so many folks that have, they have a trauma, and then they will go to someone they feel like will be their safety, and they reveal to them things that have happened, and they're not believed. And I like the word you use, discarded.
Yes.
Discarded. And they're, it's a deeper wound on top of a trauma already.
Exactly. Whereas healing, it's a trauma event.
Yeah.
Traumatic event.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Whereas healing could have started had it been a place of safety and they would have been believed.
Exactly.
Instead of just kind of halting you in your tracks. So,
exactly.
Yeah, totally makes sense.
Or discarding me.
Yeah.
Acting as though I was not being honest or that I was forgotten or making me believe that.
Yeah.
And I understand people do the best they can with what they have, but it took almost, I'm telling you, just about 3 months ago, the Lord began to reveal a different layer. And the freedom that it was so much easier for me to look at it because I had already forgiven my foster mom. I had already forgiven her for the things that I felt like she had did. But to be able to see how much I had protected her and not really seeing the part she played was amazing. That didn't mean she didn't love me. She did the best she could with what she had.
Right.
But she wounded me.
Right.
By not nurturing me, creating security for me, and creating protection for me. And so out of that became other things that, so for me, it became relational. I didn't trust anyone. So every relationship I had was discarded or what I could get out of people based on those wounds. So he had to begin to go back in and heal me relational to myself, with him, with God, but he was dealing more or less with trying to heal me from me. He was bringing that little girl up and healing her from herself. Mm. He didn't want to destroy her. He just wanted to heal her.
And he wanted to comfort her,
and
too,
comfort
sure.
her, yeah. and reposition her to make knowledgeable, wise decisions. That comes out of relational. So we deal with the relationships that people have had and where they encountered and where they got off guard with and where they was discarded and where they were not validated. And how many times have you been trying to validate you with this big old hole that's in your soul? And then we deal with stewardship. Stewardship is taking all those things we talked about, the physical, the emotional, the education, the spiritual, the relation, and how are you stewarding those? How are you keeping those healthy? How are you making them create wholeness in you? Because they all need to always be fine-tuned. You have to be willing to consistently go inside and see the areas and be open to new changes. And then my seventh one that the Lord gave me was recreation. We use it as recreation. How many of us want to be entertained? But the Lord said, no, recreation is about recreating your energy, Laquita, recreating your rest. That's what recreating rest in your life. What brings you joy? What brings you peace? What brings your ability to be okay with you? What is those things to recreate? It's not about, but some of it could be about playtime and fun time and self-care and about self-compassion and how you relate to others. And what did you forget as a child? How did, you know, did you play kickball, tetherball, tag? What did you not get to do? What was the thing that, did you like to draw? Did you like to paint? Did you like to swim? What was the things? I remember when I was younger, swimming was my escape. I would go under the water. I went swimming from the morning, from 10 in the morning to noon, and then went back at 1 to 5, and then the pool would close from 5 to 6:30 and open back up at 6:30 to 8:30. I was in the pool all day long. That was my escape. I learned to swim when I was 7. And that I would, and my grandson is the same way. He loves water. There's something about water for me when I was younger that when I got older, I forgot until I recreated that again and would go swimming and would go to the ocean and just be in it. And the Lord showed me that when I was younger, that was my escape, that you enjoyed that. Water is cleansing too. So recreational, we deal with recreating the energy and the rest and all those things. So those are the framework that God has given me, the life principles and practices of how to get back to wholeness. He gave those to me to work with my life, and then now I give them to other people to work with the programs that we work, that I started having the Courage to Change, and now that I oversee, which is Exodus and Living Hope. But it's all through City Gospel Mission. But I, you know, those are the areas called Christ-centered transformation. Is Christ being in the center of all those things on the circle? That is it. That is steps to wholeness for me, for other people. You know what I'm saying? We have the 12 steps that we talk about, you know, the programs. Then out of a book that Dietrich Wilsuck wrote called The 6 Steps to Freedom, I love it. One of his says the journey from hellation to healing. You know, then one is like, who do you think you are? That's a step. Just, you know, who you are in truth. And so he has a whole book out that says, Choose Again, The 6 Steps to Freedom. I've been looking at this. Everybody has a framework. You just have to find the one that works for you. And the one that works for me is the same, going back to the source, continually finding definition of meaning. Where did that come from? How do I move forward? You know, whether it is my marriage, whether it is me being a parent, even to a 37-year-old, a grandparent to a 9-year-old, me being a leader and having a platform, looking at the ripple effect that I have and how I treat people and how I want to be treated, knowing that some people are not going to treat me back the way I treat them, but that doesn't give me an excuse to treat them bad or to treat them like they're not important. That's why I love the scripture in Isaiah 28:10 where it says, here a little, there a little, line up on line, precept on precept. You got to continue this process of wholeness. It can't stop. You just got to constantly be open to what is life and the Lord and whatever steps you need. What is it revealing to you about you? Because I believe everything starts and finishes with me. The Bible says it.
Yeah. And you're only responsible for you, so you can only work on you.
I cannot work on nobody else but me, much as I want to work on all the humans. Trust me, I feel most of the days of my life, if I could just take the humans, put them in a shed, and recreate them for God, they'd be a lot better.
Yeah.
But I know better. So that's just an insane thought that I have every now and then.
Actually, it's not an insane thought. It's a very common thought. We were talking about in last podcast about insanity, right?
Exactly.
And it just means that it's doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So but it's a very common thing. So
it's a very, very common thing. We think, but I'm telling you, the power of knowledge and then the ability to apply the knowledge is wisdom. When we can get to that place, I am telling you, the world will open up and you will see life in such a way. I had a conversation with a friend today and she was dealing with a situation and I said, you know, where do you think that's coming from? And she realized she's always been a fighter. And she hear this podcast, she'll know who I'm talking about. She said, but what I've always did is I have fought afraid. I've not fought with confidence, and I've not fought with courage. And she said, what I've learned today talking with you is that I don't want that person to come up, because when she comes up out of control. Mm. And she has created me to possibly lose things that I wanted to keep. So I think what I'm dealing with this situation is that I'm afraid that she's gonna come up and I may lose something that I really am grateful to have. And I said, but if you tell the person exactly how you're feeling, and if you're not feeling comfortable with having that conversation, it's okay to just say that. And she said as soon as she wrote the email and said it, the pit that was in her stomach for the last few days dissolved.
Wow.
Wow. Because the reality of it is we fight, we either are fighting, flighting, freezing, or fawning. We talked about that in one of our podcasts.
Yeah.
And usually fighters fight for many reasons. Like she said, she fought because, you know, she didn't always have the confidence, but she fought. I fought all the time with confidence that I'm going to take you down. See, maybe I was too overconfident. And I left so many dead relationships in the background of me. But the confidence was not confidence in me. It was really being overconfidence in the pain I was in.
Yeah.
I was so, yeah. I'm going to get you before you get me. So all of us fight or flight or freeze or fawn for different reasons. Mine was different from hers, but we both were fighters. The warrior comes up. And like I told her, I never want my warrior to die. I just want to reposition my warrior.
Rechannel that thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I never want it to be dead because I need to still know how to war, whether it's through prayer, whether it's through perseverance. I don't want my warrior to die.
Yeah.
I just don't want my warrior to kill people and kill relationships.
Yeah, it's the difference between being a proactive warrior or a defensive warrior.
Exactly.
Sounds like she was always a defensive warrior. Now she needs to be proactive and even to the extent of what's her motivations.
Exactly. What's her outcome? What does she want?
Right. Yeah.
And so she wants peace, you know, and she's naturally a good-hearted person. And so people have taken advantage of her.
Yeah.
So she's had to, protect herself in that way. And just because her kindness is not weakness. But like I said, you don't have to stop being kind because other people can't appreciate your kindness. Just tell them how you feel.
Right.
Set your own boundaries.
There you go. There you go. And I value kindness, so I love hearing that because people misinterpret kindness for weakness all the time, and it's so not that. Sometimes kindness is strength because you know how hard it is to be kind to someone
definitely.
Who's being ugly to you?
Yeah, because I used to be the ugly person all the time. So, yeah, I know. And I knew how to intimidate people quick. With the quickness, especially if I thought you know, I could read that sign because I read people well.
Yeah.
I know how to get that person.
Yeah.
You know
what
I mean? I'm going to get them before they get me. I'm going to let them know I'm in power.
Yeah.
And the Lord has shown me, like, that is so stupid. Stop it. Dumb, dumb. Stoop. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, quit exalting yourself higher than other people.
Mm.
You know, treat people like you want to be treated, whether
That's
they ever
right.
treat you back that way or not.
That's right. Because you're accountable to someone else, not
exactly.
that person. You're
exactly.
accountable to God.
Exactly. And I'm accountable to me. I want to live in peace with myself.
Yeah, that's good. That's so good. Well, we can wrap it up there. This has really been good. 12 steps to wholeness. It's been good to discuss that and the 7 areas of change. Which is, I've seen so many people work that, and it's just been so, so good. So, well done there.
Yeah.
All right, until next time, we will see you. Have a good one, folks. Hey there. Before you go, I wanted to share with you a cause that is very near and dear to Lucretia's heart. That is City Gospel Mission. City Gospel Mission has operated in the Cincinnati area since 1924. Providing recovery services to those who have life-controlling issues, food for the hungry, shelter for the homeless, youth services, and job services. To find out more about how to give or to volunteer, go to www.citygospelmission.org. That's www.citygospelmission.org. Thanks. You've been listening to the Embracing Change podcast. Music production and mastering by Gone Coastal Productions. Podcast editing and production by Jennifer Osborne. Podcast copyright 2021 by Lucretia Bowman.